It's always a joy to be with you in worship. And I think that's one of the things that we see is that it takes us coming together to remember how good God is. That's what the Psalms do. They are used when God's people gather together to sing together to help us remember that whatever we are going through, God is bigger than it. And God is better than we can imagine. And that in the midst of our trials, together we can persevere and God will be glorified. It takes community to do that because by ourselves, our trials can seem overwhelming. It takes community to do that because we have to come together with people through whom God reminds us that we are loved. That's exactly what's going on in this psalm. It is a psalm of retrospective thanksgiving. And so we read it after we've read the 23rd psalm, where we talk about sureness and deliverance, because this psalm is a little bit further removed. This is a psalm about, yes, I knew that God would be good when I went through the valley of the shadow of death, but here, let me tell you about what life is like on the other side of the valley of the shadow of death. And so this psalm, attributed often to David, though probably written later, not that it matters. All the psalms were not written by David. These were psalms written by people who worshiped together. This psalm in particular probably was used quite often in thanksgiving ceremonies in the temple. So that when the people of God would gather together after Solomon had built the temple, they would come together and together they would say, "Thanks be to God. We remember a time when we were not gathered here. We remember a time when things were not great. But here we are. And thanks be to God." This psalm, when they would dedicate and give thanks in the temple, it told a certain story. It told a story about how God had brought up the psalmist, how God had lifted them up above enemies, how God had said, "Look, I will lift you up. You have cried out to me. You have been brought up from the pits of Sheol. You have been brought up, not resurrected, but you were on death's doorstep, and now here you are inside the temple, worshiping." So, because we know what it is like to have been put away and now we are together, the psalmist says, "Look, let's sing to God. Let's praise God. Let's remember to worship." And then there is this really beautiful moment, which I think is a central point, one that resonates with me. In the middle of this psalm, after the psalmist has stood as a pastor or a music leader often does and says, "Hey, let's sing together," the psalmist has this really honest moment. The psalmist says, "In my prosperity, I said, 'I will not be moved. You had made me a strong mountain. I was the bomb.'" That is literally the Hebrew. They had no idea what bombs were, but they knew that being the bomb was good. I mean, that's prevenient knowledge, okay? They just had an idea. So the psalmist is like, "I was it. And then you went away for a while, and I was dismayed." That's not a story we tell all that often, is it? We don't like to talk about the winters of our souls. We like to complain when we are in the winters of our souls. And we like to talk about how great God is. Share that on Facebook. You'll get some blessings, I promise. High five, Jesus. But we don't like to say, "Hey, you remember that time that I was really messed up? And I thought God wasn't there. You remember how before that time, I thought I was all that and a bag of potato chips or popcorn, depending on what you would prefer a bag of. You remember when I thought I had it all together? Do y'all remember how full of myself I was? Do y'all remember that?" We don't tell that story, do we? But the psalmist does. The psalmist says, I thought I had it all together, and then you went away. And I was dismayed. You know, I love the imagery of mountains. I love mountains. Tom asked me earlier if I was going to share, Jill and I would share some about our experience in Turkey, and we will sit down sometime for people who are interested and talk about it. Otherwise, you just have to keep hearing little bits and pieces in sermons. And good for you, I guess. That's good. It's better than having to sit through an unedited slideshow, and I won't tell you who had to do that. So one of the things I loved about Turkey was how mountainous it was. It was like a valley with Yosemite around it. There are just these huge, huge, not Appalachians, though I love them, and we all know that they're smaller because they're older, and anybody who's from around there will tell you not to talk about how great the Rockies are because they're just young whippersnapper mountains. That's why they're so pointy. If you have friends from the Appalachians, that is exactly what they say. They get upset if you talk about how much taller the Rockies are. They're like, no, they're just young. They don't know anything yet. These were beautiful peaks, and they were so big and so powerful and so gorgeous that they just often would disappear in the clouds. And so you just couldn't see the top of them. It's kind of what the mountain on the top of the worship guide, front of the worship guide, looks like today. You know that there's a mountain there, but you can't see the top of it. You know, children develop this thing called object permanence, right? So if you have a small child, before they develop this ability, and you are talking to them and you take something and you hide it behind your back, those children believe it is gone forever. And so when you bring it back out, they think you are magic. They're like, that thing was gone, and now it is not. But as we get older, we know that what we cannot see is still there, right? Right? Do we? I mean, that's kind of what the psalmist is saying. You were hidden from me, and I kind of forgot you were there. That is why we have community, to remind each other that even when we cannot see God, God is there. Let me tell you why that's important. There's been a quote that's been rolling around my head a lot this week. Because after the psalmist says, I was dismayed, and then goes into this great bit of logical thing with God, I love what the psalmist says. The psalmist says, if I died, who would praise you? It's a really risky bargain, by the way. Jesus will come into Jerusalem and say, if you weren't here, the rocks would cry out. But before that, the psalmist will say, look, I know you should not let me die, because who would praise you otherwise? And what happens is that God shows back up, and the psalmist returns to this place of faithfulness and says, you have brought me out. This beautiful line, you have turned my mourning into dancing. Why is that important? The quote that's been rolling around in my head is this. Richard Rohr says, to be certain, any pain in your story that you do not transform, you will assuredly transmit. To be certain, any pain in your story that you do not transform, you will assuredly transmit. How many of you have ever yelled at someone you were not upset with because you were upset about something else? Y'all better be raising your hand, y'all. I saw something over here that was kind of a family thing going on. I really enjoyed it. I said to my daughter yesterday, I am sorry, Sophia. Yes, I just yelled at you. It was not you. You know why? Because we are big old bags of mess. We're so unself-aware sometimes that we're upset about something either entirely out of our control or entirely in a different situation. Maybe it's something we're just all upset about the government doing something this or something that. Or maybe we're upset because our children don't call often enough. Or maybe we're upset because people we love died too soon. Or maybe we're upset because really life is often just unfair. But you know whose fault it is not? It is often not the fault of the people around us. It is often not the fault of complete strangers. It is certainly not the fault of whole people groups we don't know. So we need to come together to tell a story about when we were a mess, when we were full of ourselves and God seemed to go away and we despaired so badly that we began to doubt that the mountaintop even existed, that we kind of didn't even remember if God was around. And so we had to come together for somebody to say to us, hey, you are a hot mess, and I love you, because God loves you. And you can go on being a hot mess for as long as you need to, and I will keep loving you. Because I remember a time when I was a hot mess, and it seemed like everything was going to Sheol in a handbasket. And in my hot messedness, I was loved. See, you know what makes you mourn? Loss, isolation, anxiety, depression. You know what makes you mourn is this idea that you just don't have it together enough, that God really just kind of took off, hid God's face because, really, would he stick around for you? You know what makes you want to dance? Good music, for starters, something with a nice beat. But secondly, when that beat is reverberating with language and actions that say, you're loved. Even when your dance gets super weird. Even when you're a mess, you're loved. And look, man, we're dancing over here. Would you just come dance? Yes, you look really weird when you do. But you'll get over it. You'll get better. There's a joke. I can't remember all of it, so I'll just kind of paraphrase it. But it's something about this guy who was going to enter the ministry, but he decided that he would have more fun as an undertaker because they seemed to smile more than pastors did. In some circles, we've just made a profession out of being dour. It's secondary to our profession about being right all the time. You know what marks God's people? People who are full of joy. And I have to confess, man, sometimes I have forgotten how to have fun. Sometimes I get so stressed out and so anxious about all these things that I forget what it's like to just dance for no reason. I forget what it's like to walk around all the time knowing that God's face is not hidden. God is not gone. And that if I just hang out with these people who say they love me long enough, and if I become vulnerable and open myself to actually believe that, that God's still there. And the song is still going on. And our mourning, which is a fine place to be, is already, right now, being transformed into dancing. Starts with a little toe tap. And the next thing you know, you got this weird hip wiggle thing going on that gets you banned in the South. It is okay who you are, because we got to get with Peter, who gets it. And here's what I love. Peter gets it. He says, look, when Jesus says, are you going away? He said, where else would we go? But remember this. Peter says, where else would we go? And then what does Peter do when Jesus is arrested? He still denies him three times. And I'm not dogging Peter. I'm finding comfort in that. That there are times when I recognize there's nowhere else to go. But even when I forget it, it doesn't change who God is. And it doesn't change who Jesus is. And it doesn't change how we are loved. The reality is, we are a people who are loved. And we have been down some dark roads, and we have been brought out. And we will continue to be brought out, step by step, dance by dance, until we all show up on God's dance floor. Amen.